yeah, we'll see how that all plays out. Some of his tax preparers have been indicted, and that trial, it hasn't already started, it'll start soon. And we'll see how that one plays. Donald Trump hasn't been indicted, but some of the people who handled the taxes for Donald Trump. He's personally given me his word that he would do something three different times. And he's broken his word every single time. When someone gives me their word, to me, that means I'm going to do it to the power of water. So it's hard figuring out who's telling the truth and who's not. It's really hard. I suggest that what you do is you look at history. What someone has done in the past is the best indicator of what someone's going to do in the future. In politics, look at where the money's coming from to fund the campaign. These people are experts in advocating special things that will give them more money in their pocket or something else. And if they are behind the candidate in a big way, then probably that candidate has told those special interests that they're going to do something that they would never tell the public they're going to do. But these guys, their jobs depend on their electing people who are going to do what they tell those candidates to do. And by the way, that is the most corrupting influence in Washington, D.C. and in Montgomery. Special interests. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you want to be chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. We have four committees that are called aid committees. How much do you think it costs if you want to be chairman of Ways and Means? What's the initial bid price? I'm picking on names right now, aren't you? $1 million. Okay? That is the initial bid price. If you're a Republican and you want to be chairman of Ways and Means, Energy and Commerce, Financial Services, or Appropriations, literally, $1 million. If you can't come up with $1 million, then you're not considered. End of subject. Now, where do you think these candidates get that $1 million from? Do you guys contribute a whole bunch of money? Are y'all regular Joe and Jane citizens? No. Joe and Jane citizen can't contribute that. So where do they get that money? From special interests who demand a quid pro quo. So, Ways and Means, if you're going to give a certain special interest a certain break, tax credit, whatever the thing may be, then they will offer to finance your effort to be chair of Ways and Means. Now that's not the public's interest. 99% of the time, but it sure is in the interest of these folks who might be willing to invest $1 million or $2 million if they can get $100 million because of the tax breaks they're going to get because they have selected the chairman of Ways and Means. And I'll give you an example. How many of y'all ever heard of Thomas? We have questions a little bit. How many of y'all ever heard of Thomas Massie? He's a congressman from Kentucky. He is a libertarian, Republican. And 6 years ago, I was reading USA Today, and I saw this great front page article. It's about Thomas Massie. And Thomas Massie had been asked by a special interest lobbyist to support a patent bill that would empower people with lots of money to steal intellectual property rights from the actual inventor. And the guy who's pushing this bill said, Mr. Massey, you have a lot of respect, but your Republicans are in control. If you will sponsor this bill, I will pay the $500,000 to get you on Ways and Means, because I know you want to be on it. Not to be chairman, just to be on it, $500,000. And Thomas Massey, not yet knowing the content of the bill, said, oh yeah, let me look at that bill. Thomas looked at it. He's got a lot of patents himself. He's an MIT grad, brilliant. His wife's an MIT grad, brilliant. And he looked at the bill in the back of the line and said, sorry, I can't support this bill. This allows or enables the rich and powerful to steal the patents of the people who actually came up with the idea who should be reaping the benefit of the improvements that they have done in whatever it is they've done. And so the lobbyist says, well, now I'm not going to pay your $500,000 for being on his knees. All right, not as fast as it's seen. And then he went and talked to USA Today. It's a front page article. And I saw Thomas on the House floor, and Thomas, I thought that was a great article. We need to get the public understanding how corrupt Washington, D.C. is. And Thomas said, well, there was one big problem. I made one big mistake. I said, what's that? I thought it was great. I didn't catch any mistakes. He said, well, I talked about it in terms of buying a committee assignment. Really, it's a rental agreement because you have to pay it every 2 years. This is your government, folks. You want to know why so many things go on in Washington, D.C. that are contrary to what is in the best interest of the public, and anybody can see it? Same thing in Montgomery. The special interests run that show, too. The Republican Party does not nominate Republicans anymore. What we do on our side of the aisle is we nominate the people who are most tied to the special interests who come up with the money to be able to make you think that these candidates have values that they don't. Same thing on the Democrat side, they just have a different set of special interests. So you've got these two sets of special interests that are duking it out. And the political parties are pretty much just there as a vehicle by which the special interests can run their candidates, not only for public office, but also for chairman of Ways and Means and a bunch of other committees or beyond those committees. Now, in Washington, what I've just described is probably legal. So it's legal corruption. But it corrupts the public policy debate, and that's what you have to work through as you try to figure out which candidates to support and which ones to oppose. I'll give you an example. This affects me with Mark Pettit in mind. Okay, Mark Pettit, he's also a Grissom grad up in Huntsville. Border security. How many Republicans are for border security? How many do you think? We have 250 Republicans in Congress. About. How many do you think are for border security?
Not enough.
Okay, not enough's a good answer, but how many?
How many in Congress?
About 250.
Okay, I would say about 70.
70. How many do you think?
In the House?
In the House and the Senate.
75% of them, truly?
50. 50 to 70 is about right. Now, you have to understand what someone means by border security. For example, if you build a wall and you let anyone who wants to come into America come into America, is that border security? We say, it's not illegal anymore. Everybody can come in. We can bring in 1 billion people who want to be here. Is that border security? Well, if the border is secure, no one's coming in illegal because we said they all are legal. So you have to understand the words that are being used. When a candidate uses the phrase border security, what does that mean? So I'll tell you, in Alabama is not for border security. Forget about it. Look at the last three Senate races. In 2017, Doug Jones, for open borders. 2020, Jeff Sessions, he was the number one senator on border security, as we understand that phrase, and he lost the Republican primary. And this year, 2022, I was the number one member of the House of Representatives on border security, according to Numbers USA, the only independent entity that evaluates our border security records. And I got beat. And a Republican primary. So that ought to tell you that the voters in Alabama really don't care a squat, at least the majority don't, about border security based on the last three Senate races. Where we've sent to Washington, D.C., people who are the exact opposite of what we in this room probably think border security means. Now, I'll guarantee you that none of the people who won said that they're soft on the border when they ran. But you have to understand what they mean by the phrase border security.
They secure the border in Texas.
Oh, it'd be wonderful if we were to secure the border in Texas. But these are some of the challenges that y'all face. It's the corruption of it all. And it really comes down to your generation participating in the political process to a greater degree than some are now. And you participate first and foremost by deciding what you believe in, what is good for your country. And then you either run as a candidate for the legislature or for Congress or for whatever, or you help a candidate of like mind win. And by the way, voting, that's the minimum. That is the absolute least you can do to vote. Okay? Like we had a guy running for the United States Senate this year. He came in third, spent $10 million of his own money, and he hadn't voted in a Republican primary since 2008. So be active. This is your government. I'm retired. I'm age 68. Fill out my Social Security forms. In 2 weeks, I lose my office in Washington, D.C. I've already sold my condo in Washington, D.C., so maybe I'll become one of those homeless people and put up a little pup tent on the Capitol grounds. What am I going to do? Mark, by the way, Mark, my chief of staff, he can rent a hotel room and the government will reimburse him. They won't reimburse me. And then he got to rib me a little bit about how he also gets reimbursement for his meals. But once I get kicked out of my office, the week of November 15th, I got maybe a cubicle someplace if I can find it. I don't know where it is yet. I guess I can put it down.
I'll be double bed for you.
And he's offered to get two different beds in the hotel room where I can stay in one to the extent he goes to Washington. But anyways, that's kind of off the beaten path. That's just a little story there, a little bit of insight. But please, 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 this is your country. And Americans are worth saving. But right now, because voters are doing such a poor job, particularly on border security, particularly on deficit and debt, particularly on moral values, the confidence of guys just to do the right thing with our power, or the wrong thing, particularly on free enterprise, y'all are in for a world of hurt. That $31 trillion debt is going to bite you. You're already seeing it a little bit with respect to inflation. And it's bipartisan, as I mentioned before. It's bipartisan. The Republicans spend the money too. And I get up there and I keep voting against these bigger government bills where they expand this or expand that, or they just spend more money. 10, 20, 30, 40 votes will join me out of 435 in the House of Representatives. That does not win on this board. All right, so at this point, I want to open up for any questions y'all might have about anything and anybody, and I will answer as best I can. Yes, ma'am.
How will you be handling your vote next week with the Senate race?
You know, I don't have to answer those questions anymore. I'm not running for public office anymore. But I'll tell you what my standard is. If we lose on any of four or five issues, then we've lost on all of them long term. Because if we lose on any of these four or five issues, that affects the outcome long term. Okay? I'm not voting for any candidates who are dishonest. It may be difference if the Republican or Democrat. Probably the worst dishonest one is the Republican. I'm not voting for any candidate who is not for border security because that dilutes the strength of our vote long term. It also increases our deficit and our accumulated debt, as I mentioned, to the tune of about $9,000 to $10,000 per year per illegal alien. That's a lot of money. It's well in excess of $100 billion a year that taxpayers are losing because of open borders. So I'm gonna vote for any candidate who's not for border security. I'm gonna vote for any candidate that's for bigger government. I'm not voting for any candidate that I believe is going to be voting for these deficits and accumulated debt, because that's going to bankrupt us. Yeah, I don't know what they teach about the Great Depression, but it wasn't free. And the Great Depression would be a picnic compared to what would happen if we go bankrupt, particularly in an age of weapons of mass destruction. In the 1930s, Japan attacked us in part because they thought they could beat us, in part because the Great Depression had reduced our military capability. We mothballed a lot of our ships, by way of example. Okay? We downsized our military capability. Imagine the risk associated with that happening if we go bankrupt in a world where there are a lot of countries with weapons of mass destruction who would love to take the United States of America out of action if given the opportunity. So there, to answer your question, I'm voting based on four or five different things. And I'm going to vote for the person who I believe is in the best interest of America. But if they're bad on some of these issues, I'm not voting for them regardless of political party. Yes?
So, Congressman, in 2016, you were pretty critical of President Trump when he ran in that primary. Yes.
And I feel his honesty. That was a big one.
Yeah, and then I think when you ran, and you called him deceitful today, but when you ran for higher office of the Senate, you kind of retooled yourself as a Trump Republican.
I was a conservative America First guy long before Donald Trump was on the scene. Mm-hmm. I was an America First guy back when Donald Trump was pro-abortion, pro-open borders, and a Democrat.
So, with that being said, why did you seek his endorsement if you had a moral opposition?
Because he has such a large influence over a large number of voters. Simple as that, man. But you will note that I never recanted any of the comments I said about his dishonesty in 2016.
So you,
I knew I was playing with fire
yeah.
when I ran for the United States Senate. And I knew I could not rely on Donald Trump when he gave me his word that he would endorse me and he would stick through me through the end. And he also gave me his word later on that under no circumstances would he ever endorse Kate Britt. That's two of the three times where he broke his word. Yes?
What is your approach for Alabama for the use of electricity?
Repeat that.
So, what is your approach towards the diesel shortages being like Nation American communities?
Well, when voters make dumb decisions, you have bad results. Okay? Voters put in Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the Greenies who want to attack our energy production.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing we can do as substance over the next 20 days to affect energy supplies in the United States of America, except what Joe Biden is doing. Joe Biden is taking oil out of our strategic petroleum reserve. That is a short-term benefit, but a long-term risk, potentially catastrophic risk. But that increase artificially in the supply will decrease prices some. But there's nothing else of substance we can do other than start producing energy again. But the Greenies don't like anything that is carbon-based. By the way, y'all need to quit exhaling because that's CO2. They control. They have the votes. Joe Biden killed the Keystone Pipeline. One of the stupidest energy decisions I have seen in my lifetime, if not the stupidest. Does everybody understand the political dynamics of Keystone Pipeline? Where would you rather get oil from? Canada, a long-term ally, an easily defensible supply route? Or Islamic nations through the Straits of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf? I mean, it's brainless. Yes, sir.
I appreciate your honesty, and I want to be honest when I ask you that, with the power of retrospect, how would you say anything about your actions and events of January 6th?
I'm proud of it. I don't believe in voter fraud election yet. It was a tactically bad decision because of the way people lied about it. And they lied to the nth degree, trying to fool the public into believing that I somehow had inspired an attack in the United States Capitol. But let me give to you a factoid. There is a judge who was appointed by Barack Obama and I was sued by another congressman in court. This congressman said, oh, I'm scared, vote was positive. Okay? And the judge looked at Eric Swalwell, by the way, you may know him because he's famous for having had the sexual relationship with the communist spy Feng Feng while he's on the House Intelligence Committee. At or about somewhere in there, there's an overlap, okay? So he sued me. And the Barack Obama appointed judge looks at the lawsuit, looks at my evidence, looks at the speech I gave, looks at Eric Swalwell's lack of evidence, and he entered an order dismissing that lawsuit against me. And the strongest statement in his order was, I'm going to paraphrase, there is no plausible argument, quote unquote, plausible argument that can be advanced that Mo Brooks had anything to do with the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. So this is a federal judge who's looked at all the evidence, all the information. He's got fukus of clerks, and he's a Barack Obama judge. He said, this is frivolous against Mo Brooks. Now, I didn't stop the news media, the Democrats, and our Republican primary opponents from making hay with it when they threw it, even though they knew that they were lying.